Let's go. Okay, so we are on Daphne Monmouth.
To what?
To, did we did this last line on Daphne Base Summer Base?
We did Base
Summer Base. Same Hanan Minakatas, we did that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's right. The Chata Shemeifel Mi Itzba Me'ilos is the Gemara Me'ili. Right. Is it really true that a Chatas that died has a din of meaning it died outside the context of being sacrificed for as a korban, right?
It just like plopped dead.
Does it really have a din of Me'ilos? Is that really true? Basmana, we have a Mishnah. Chata Ois HaMeisos. By the way, I don't think I've explained. I explained that the culture in the basement of Shembabu was oral. Right? Well, it was an oral culture. They didn't have Sraim.
Okay.
But they worked from... They had basically a human memory machine, somebody whose memory was trained extremely, extremely well, and he was in charge of remembering everything. Right? For example, why did Rabban Gamliel come... If you ever wonder, in the Gemara, that famous story in the Gemara and Brachot, it's why the Rabban Gamliel came to the Beis Midrash. Right? The day he was sacked, the day that the Masech Zidiyah is called, he was sacked as a Nasi, right? And instead, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was put in his place. Yeah?
Yeah.
And Rabban Gamliel immediately comes to the Beis Midrash. You never wondered why he didn't stay at home for a few hours? He got sacked. Like, everybody just sort of ganged up on him.
Yeah.
He has the right to stay home, right? The reason why is because in the world of Chazal, the Beis Midrash is entirely oral. There is no Da'anos for him.
So they needed his help?
No. And think about it. If everything is Baal Peh, so how do you learn? So there are two ways. Either you have a truly extraordinary memory, or, more likely,
you talk to someone who does.
You have people who are trained to remember things. Now, that person was called a garas. In the world of the Goyim, at least, he was called a garas. His job was to say the girsa. Hence that word. Right, the word for a different version of a written text is nuscha. Right, nusach. Right, girsa is a different word. Is a word for a different version of an oral text. Right, so the garas would be the one who would tell you what the Tanaim said.
Mm.
Right. Now, tane means repeat. It means to repeat something that you've already learned, like from shinun in Hebrew. Remember, taf and shin can be switched.
So hatznan is.
So and we teach.
Behasanya
means and it is taught. Behasnan means and we teach. We teach because it's a Mishnah. Right, we, as in we all accept Nishnayos, we don't necessarily all accept prices. Right, prices are sometimes accepted and sometimes not, hence Vehasanya. It is taught as opposed to we teach. That's the reason for that particular distinction. Right, it's not that Tanya means Dreisa and Tanan means Mishnah. Okay?
It's okay.
Tanya says Vehasanya, we teach in our Mishnah. Chata ois ameisos. Right, chatois, that. What's chatois ameisos? What's the case?
They were going to be a chata korbanim and they just died.
So, not exactly. They are a chatas from the perspective of the kedusha, but they can't be brought. Chatas shemesu balea. Vlad chatas. Tmuras.
Oh, so they're alive. And the animals are
they're
alive.
They're totally alive, but...
They're useless.
They can't be brought, right? For whatever reason. Chatas shenizkafru balea bechat sacher. Right? Chatas sheavda. Right? These are the five chatais. Amesois. And they are called chatais and meisos not because they're already dead, they're still alive, but because they're going to die. There is nothing we can do. We shut them up in a room with fodder and they die. That's basically it. Gamarno.
So, in a case of Me'ila there, one of the has to pay with the fifth, assuming it's Doraita. What val is it? But the thing's useless.
What do you mean?
Is it something he has to pay, presumably, the value of the animal, right? But the value of the animal is nothing to the. He's not. He hasn't really stolen any value from the Beit Hamikdash. If it's
Let's see, right? That's not in the Mishnah. Say chatais ameisos. Ma'ayta holchas yamelach. What's ma'ayta holchas yamelach? Okay. Ma'ayta holchas yamelach. The case is as follows, right? You have a nazir, right?
Yep.
And nazir is sometimes a nazir is mafresh ma'ayts for his korban. How what korban is a nazir bringing in from the earth? Chatz shlam ma'ayt. Chatz shlam ma'ayt. Sorry. Right.
Is a blessing, right?
If he was mafresh, these mice for a khatas and this mouse for a shalom and these mice. Sorry, if it was mavrishtam, then that's fine. Right, he was mavrishtam. Mice and Israel seed, no worries, right? Even if for some reason he doesn't end up using them, he uses them for something else, for a different theory or whatever, it doesn't matter, even for a different khatas, right? Maybe a different deus, what exactly he can use them for. But if he was mavrish them specifically for a khatas, then there's nothing to be done with them. If he doesn't use them for that khatas, he will have to take them to Yom HaMelech and throw them into Yom HaMelech.
Uh-huh.
Right? So that's mice achulchas Yom HaMelech. Loi ninin veloi moalin. They don't have a din of me'ilah. Not me daraisa, not me derabanan. Baruch Shekibanta, right? They don't have any din of Me'ilah whatsoever. They have an Isur Derabanan of Hanah. What's the difference between a Isur Derabanan of Hanah, a Isur Hanah Midarabanan, and an Isur Me'ilah Midarabanan? Me'ilah Derabanan, you still have to pay the Beis Mikdash, the Keren, remember, the actual value. The Isur Hanah Midarabanan, you don't have to pay the Beis Mikdash anything. Right? It's just Asur Midarabanan. And in such a case, lo nenen ve lo molin. Okay? So that, what does that teach us? It teaches us chatas mesa shouldn't have me'ilah at all. And Isra Hanah, sure, but no Isra me'ilah. Not even midarabanan. So and we just said chatas mesa does have an Isra me'ilah.
Meaning you'd right? It wouldn't be a problem if you took it, meaning you should like...
No, it's Asra midarabanan.
Oh.
But if you did it, they don't have to pay the base mikdash.
If it has lo nanin and lo molin, it's still aser.
Yes.
Okay.
But as opposed to what we said previously, which is a chatas that dropped dead, there's still an iser me'ilah midarabanan, meaning you still have to pay the Beit HaMikdash the value of the animal, you just don't add a chomesh and you don't add bring a korban.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So, right. So then he says, no, Amri, this is the answer. Chatos ha-meisais bechayayim edilim in hoin la-pukim ha-ichadem mechayim delay bedilim inay. Chatos ha-meisais. Right, the reason why they have no me'ilah whatsoever, they only have an Isra Hanah, is because even when they're alive, nobody's in the same room as them, nobody's hanging out with them. Remember, why do you do it with them? You give them a whole bunch of fodder and shut them up in a room and leave them there. I mean, nobody's spending time with them. There's no real practical possibility of Me'ilah actually happening. A chatas that just dropped dead, up until it just dropped dead, there were people looking after it, there were people around it, therefore the possibility of Me'ilah is more real, and that's why there is Nisr Me'ilah there, Midarabanan. We are more concerned that Me'ilah would happen.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Hey, Sive Rav Yosef Rabba, Chada Migoy Chada, Vechada Migoy Chada. Rav Yosef responded to Rabba. Remember, Rav Yosef said, what was Rav Yosef's opinion at the beginning of the previous Amud?
Rav Yosef said, Mim Alu Lo Yardu.
Very good. And Rabba said,
Yardu.
Very good. About which case?
About when you shucked it in like the south.
Very good. Kochim Shachta Madaraim. Right, so it says, this is the end of that little unit about Chatas HaMeisos, right? And so now we're getting back to our original discussion. Rav Yosef said to Rabba, he responded, Chada Midu Chada and Chada Migo Chada. Different Shayim have different ways to pass this line. What it means one way or another is that there are three Mishnayos in Masechet Zevachim, right? Which when we, neither of them on its own is enough to form a response to Rabba, but on all together, they do. Right? When we combine the halachis in them, they no longer make sense of what Rabba is saying. Right? Rashi says, Chada Midu Chada v'chada Midu Chada means if we take one limud and apply it in another Mishnah, then we take that or that, and we take all that combination and apply it in a third Mishnah, which is in a different parak, then we reach a problem for Rabba. This have a different way of explaining it, doesn't really matter, but the point is you're combining three Mishnayos, and we'll see how exactly in a second. Okay?
Yep.
What does that mean? What's that referring to? Do you know what this metanim beis avliyah means?
No.
Okay. Metanim beis avliyah means as follows, right? Wow, we're getting mamish into the world of Taurus now. But nivlas oif tahor. Right? Nevela means something that was not shechted properly.
Yeah.
Oif means what it sounds like. But tahor means kosher. Now a nevela is tummy. As nevela's nivlas behema is tummy. Nivlas oif. A little bit less partial. If I remember correctly, we've got some on. What about Nevela's oif tahor? Nevela oif tahor. So it's tahor. But only in a particular way. We have a halachal mechanism that only mitame in one way. If you take a beitza of a nivlasayf tame, which we nivlasayf tahar, which is the maximum amount of food that you can fit in your amount of one tame paskin, right? If you take a beitza of a nivlasayf tahar and you eat it, right? When it reaches the back of your throat, it is metame you as an avatoma. But only in that case.
Only that you like that.
If you touch it, it's not metame you. You have to actually eat it.
And so what is it?
And if you do eat it, not only are you tame, but it's metame your clothes as well.
Oh, that's the big idea.
Yes. So that's what this line means.
So this is referring to if I eat a tahor bird.
Nivlas of tahor. An oif tara which was not slaughtered properly, then it'll be matami but only when you eat it, only when it reaches the back of your throat. That's what the beit habliya means. Okay. Now, what is the classic case of shechting a bird? Not really shechting a bird, and yet the Torah says to do it.
And yet the Torah says to do it.
Yeah. Malika. But malika is completely different. A kohen will have a thumbnail. Firstly, it's not done with a knife. It's done with a thumbnail. Right. And secondly, you slash the bird's throat in Achinami, but from the back, not from the front. Using the thumbnail. That's what the coin does.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He holds the bird in his left hand, he slashes the bird's throat from the back with his thumbnail. That's not a kasher shlita on multiple levels. Okay?
Yeah.
So, that would be a nivlas oif tahor, unless you do it in the Beis HaMikdash.
More than none.
If you do it in the Beis HaMikdash for a korban, then it's not a nivlas oif tahor, and it's tahor itself. Right, but if you were to do that outside the Beis HaMikdash in Achinami, that would be a nivlas oif tahor because that's not a maaseh shechita. Right. Okay. So, metamin bladim abeis abliya umbo alen bohem. All of the karbanos, right? Meaning, an oilas ha'oif or a chatas ha'oif that you shechted it in the wrong place, or a chatas ha'oif that you shechted it in the right place. Any of those three, they are not considered, even if you shechted it in the wrong place, they are not considered niflas oif tahor, as long as it's in the Beis HaMikdash.
If it's in the Beis HaMikdash, and then their me'ilah applies.
Yes, and they have a din of me'ilah.
What they did during the inauguration of the Mishkan, when they built the Mishkan,
they built the
that's what he described in
fine. Chutz, with one exception.
Alright.
Mechatas ha'oif, if there's a chatas ha'oif, she'asa lemata, that you did it, that you shechted it and remember what you do with a chatas ha'oif, you don't flick the blood like you do with a chatas behemoth, you press the birds of the mizbeach.
Yeah.
So, she'asa lemata, you did it on the bottom of the mizbeach, ke ma'ise chatas ha'oif l'shem chatas, just like you should, and you did it in the name of chatas, you did it with kavana that it should be a chatas. In such a case, there will not be me'ila, why not?
If we learn it, it's done. I don't know why.
It's eaten. It's eaten by Kavanah. Something that's eaten by Kavanah kind of meal.
Yeah.
Right? Vekasani ilvei. And then we say about this statement. Kol shehaya psulei b'kodesh. The next mission in the parak. I think it was the sixth parak, seventh parak. I don't remember now, right? Kol shehaya psulei b'kodesh. Eina mitamiga godim abeis abliya. Vekol shehaya psulei b'kodesh. Mitamiga godim abeis abliya. Okay. And we say that any time that psul is called a psul b'kodesh. Right? Meaning, the problem is not that you did something, that either the animal was a trefa, right? Or that you did something which was, still had nothing to do with the mikdash. Either you did it mamish outside of the mikdash, or you did an improper maitha in the mikdash.
Yeah.
You did something which made this korban basically into a different korban, or you did something which passes the korban machshava. That's called a psulei b'kodesh, right?
Yeah.
In such a case, right, it will not become a nivlei sof tor, it doesn't become tor, and it doesn't not matame you when you swallow it. You're not allowed to swallow it anyway. But if you did, it wouldn't be matame you. And if it is psulei shaloi b'kodesh, if it wasn't psulei b'kodesh, meaning you did malik outside the Beis HaMikdash, it was just a trefa, right? Those sorts of things,
yeah.
Right? Then it would be matame b'beis abliya. Right?
And so those are the first two.
Those are the first two Mishnah. Is that our problem for Rabbah? Ve'kasani, and we have a third Mishnah called Shehayab Zulei Bekoidet, meaning our case of a chatas or an oila that you did them on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, it's called Zulei Bekoidet. Right? Okay. You're meant to do Malikas Ove on the Mizbeach itself.
Yeah.
Right? And it's called, that's a classic case of Zulei Bekoidet. Right?
Yeah.
So they should not be metami bebeis abliya, right? Even though it's a pasul korban, they shouldn't do. They shouldn't be metami bebeis abliya. And oila sa'oif was meant to be lamata on the top half of the mizbeach. Ratzif was meant to be in the bottom half of the mizbeach, right? Ve'kasani, we have a third. We have kasani later on in the same mishnah. Kol shehayep sule bekodesh im alu lo yerdu. Any time it's sule bekodesh im alu lo yerdu.
This is equal to this.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. That's what I said. You need those three Mishnayos all together to respond to Rabbah's statement. Right? Which is exactly the same as our case of Kotei Kotim Sheshachtem Bedorom. Right? It's Psulei Bakodesh. Literally, it's in the Kodesh. It's in the Azara. The Psul happened in the Azara. You used the wrong part of the Azara for Shlita, but that part of the Azara is kosher in general for Shlita's Kodjim. Right? Kotei Kalima Kosher Bedorom. Yeah? So, and even so, right, so we can see that's exactly the same as shechting the chatas ha'oif, as doing malika on the chatas ha'oif on the top half of the mizbeach, or doing malika on oil ha'oif on the bottom half of the mizbeach. Right? And we saw that that's called psula b'kodesh, and even alu lo yerdu, you wouldn't take it down if you brought the animal, the bird up to burn it. Right?
Therefore,
just like that, when it comes to Kodji Kodjim, to Shachta Medorim, it should be that if you bring it up onto the Mizbeach, you would not then have to take it down.
Well, yeah, how did it all start? What's the original connection we're going off of?
To what?
Let's see, how do we know that this is equal to that?
It's the same thing. You're doing the Malik on the wrong part of the Mizbeach.
Oh, and that's the same.
Which is the same as doing the Shita on the wrong part of the Azara.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
At first we said that doing shlita in the wrong part, remember we said yesterday, doing shlita in the wrong part of Zara is maybe not comparable to doing Zarika on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, right? Because if you do Zarika on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, you still did a Kasha Shlita. Right? So here Malik on the wrong part of the Mizbeach is exactly the same as shlita on the wrong part of the Zara. That's really the first part of the Hakrava. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So it says Tiyuvta de Rabba. Shouldn't this be a response to Rabba Tiyuvta? Yep, it is. Right. This proves Rabba incorrect. Right.
Yeah.
Now note, this is not the last word. Right. Okay. This is not the last word. Ve'hada pligiba Rabba ve'Rab Yosef, and what Rabba and Rab Yosef disagreed about here, right?
Yeah.
Shita leila Rabbi Elazar. This actually, it was obvious to Rabbi Elazar, right? Okay. Now note. Do you know what? This really goes straight into the next Amud, so I'm gonna stop the recording here.